B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, 11:02, Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy here with us, and it is now time to go to our guy for the next hour, Bert Breer on the National Football League. Bert joins us from his basement on, he's technically a South Shore citizen, which is great. You actually live in a town that borders the ocean, which
That's
is amazing.
Right, yeah, Duxbury, Mass.
Yeah, you don't have to tell you the town. I don't want people knowing where you live.
Real South Shore.
Yeah, a real South Shore with
a
beach.
Town. I don't think people will be able to find me.
So, Monday morning quarterback, Bert Breer. What's going on, bud?
What's happening, guys?
What did you think of the game last night?
You know, I think it's we can talk about like where the Titans went wrong and all the stuff that happened the last couple of weeks. I thought the first thought that I had coming out of it was just what a great job Mike Vrabel and his staff did getting that team ready. They only practiced twice over the last 16 days. A lot of the stuff that they were doing was over Zoom.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, 11:02, Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy here with us, and it is now time to go to our guy for the next hour, Bert Breer on the National Football League. Bert joins us from his basement on, he's technically a South Shore citizen, which is great. You actually live in a town that borders the ocean. Which
That's
is amazing.
Right, yeah, Duxbury, Mass.
Yeah, you don't have to tell you the town. I don't want people knowing where you live.
Real South Shore.
Yeah, a real South Shore with
a
beach.
Town. I don't think people will be able to find me.
So, Monday morning quarterback, Bert Breer. What's going on, bud?
What's happening, guys?
What did you think of the game last night?
You know, I think it's we can talk about like where the Titans went wrong and all the stuff that happened the last couple of weeks. I thought the first thought that I had coming out of it was just what a great job Mike Vrabel and his staff did getting that team ready. They only practiced twice over the last 16 days. A lot of the stuff that they were doing was over Zoom. You had all these different stressors that they're dealing with. You know, obviously different guys worried about whether or not they're getting the virus. You know, then the idea of like, how am I going to get myself ready for a game? And I just thought, you know, going into that game, there was every reason to think that the Bills would come in there and really send a message, you know.
The Bills were a pissed off group coming in too. You thought, boy, right, they could potentially thump them.
Like, and so you figured like, okay, like the Bills are going to come in here with a chip on their shoulder and take advantage of a vulnerable team. And the opposite happened. And, you know, guys, like with like, you know, the head coaching searches coming in Atlanta and Houston, it's so interesting to me to watch a team like Vrabel's and you see the qualities that Vrabel has as a head coach. And I think sometimes we get so wrapped up in like, this guy's an offensive guru or this guy's like a, you know, defensive strategist, whatever. Leadership is such an important part of that job. And you know this. So if you can't get the team to buy into what you're doing, like the rest of the stuff doesn't matter. And Mike's so good at that. And I think that what we saw last night was such a great example of it, that that team stayed tight, you know, through a 16-day period that I think would have torn a lot of other teams.
He is one of your guys, isn't he? Mike Vrabel.
The Ohio State, man.
That is firmly in the Burt Breer camp. Burt Breer.
Beadle, I mean, you can't, Beadle, you can't argue with the job he did. I mean, they 42-16 after everything they went through.
You are obviously buying into this theory that they're like somehow these victims of something.
I'm not saying they're victims, but I'm just saying it's a difficult circumstance to come out of. Look, they aren't victims, right? And I think they're going to get dinged for some of the stuff that
they're acting like victims. Did you hear their post game? You're Ryan Tannehill.
I know they should. They said some stuff last night they probably should have said.
Oh, you think?
I'm not taking them off the hook for any of that. But what I am saying, Beadle, that's a tough situation for the team to perform at its highest level at. You can agree with that, right? Like, there was every reason for them to grab an excuse there and say, well, we got hosed and, like, of course we didn't play well. There's, like, every excuse in the world was available to them, and they went out and they played really well. And I think just for the on-field performance, like, they deserve credit for that.
Yeah, I mean, I already thought Mike Vrabel was a good coach, and I'm not surprised that his team is playing well this year. I do think there is something going on there that is very Patriot-like now, because all that whining last night, we look at it and say, oh, you're not a victim, stop whining. But it's sort of an us against the world. Yeah. Nobody believes in us. Everyone's down on us. We don't like the way we've been treated, as Ryan Tannehill said. We don't like the way we've been talked about. They are finding those things to put on the whiteboard and get fired up about and go prove the world wrong, which is great. I mean, that's good
Beadle
for them.
Spygate. It's Spygate, right? Like, because the Patriots acted like, and you remember in 2007, we all remember this, and Mike was on that team.
Yep.
Like, they acted as if they were backed into a corner. The rest of the league's looking at him saying, like, wait a second, you're not the victim here. But they used it, right? Like, yes. They took it out on everybody else. It's the exact same thing, right?
Very similar. Burt Breer is with us, and he's brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union. Times have been tough. Rockland Federal Credit Union can help you with the products you need, a free on-demand credit monitoring tool, and the personal service you deserve. Visit rfcu.com today. That game in general, though, for Buffalo, you worried about the Bills yet? It's October. Things change there.
I actually thought, like, on balance, Josh Allen was, like, pretty good. I thought, like, early in the game he looked awesome. The first pick wasn't really his fault. The second pick was bad, you know, but it's one interception. I still think there's a lot of reason to be encouraged by Josh Allen. I thought what was weird about it was, you know, Sean McDermott's, like, sort of, like, really run, like, a buttoned-up operation there over the last 4 years. And so to just see the penalty issues they had, the turnovers, the drops, like, there was a lot of stuff last night that was just uncharacteristic of them. And so I think it's just something to keep an eye on going forward. They were playing without both their starting corners. And obviously, you know, having Josh Norman playing a lot of snaps instead of Tre'Davious White, we saw the results.
Big difference. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, so, like, there's some reasons behind this. And I'm willing to give them a mulligan, but it definitely, you saw some cracks defensively there. And like maybe a little bit of a depth issue defensively. And then the discipline issue was just really weird, because it's like the opposite of what Sean McDermott's teams have been over the last 4 years.
Yeah, they jump off sides, though. He was pulling those kids out of games. I mean, that's the big thing there, is he's still trying to send that message, which is good for them. And it's not a Rex team that he's just going to let them do whatever the hell they want.
Right.
I do think Allen's better this year. It's the first time I got to see him play for a full game. The impressive thing for me is his accuracy without stepping in a direction where he's thrown.
Yeah.
Like, his arm's that strong.
Yeah.
And I think they're starting to find out, Bert, that let's not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 him hit, throw the ball, put the ball up like a moon ball. Let's let him see things, move around a little bit. Almost Mahomes-like, where let those guys get open downfield and then gun it in there. Like,
and
that
know,
benefits
like,
him.
They had so Daboll obviously was here, and he was with Brady, and he had Josh Allen watch a lot of Brady tape. And one of the issues they had with him when he came in was at Wyoming, he sort of had to, like, the team around him was awful.
Right.
And so his mechanics were hurt because of that, because he's throwing off balance and all over the place a lot. And he had to bail them out a lot, and they were playing from behind a lot and all of that. And so Daboll had him watch Brady. And the whole idea of watching Brady wasn't like, you're going to be Tom Brady. Daboll was trying to show him, like, look at all of these easy completions Brady's taking. Like, Brady's not, like, you know, hucking the ball down the field all the time. Brady's, like, constantly taking easy money. And so they had to kind of reprogram him a little bit. I think we've seen that. And then, yeah, I mean, I thought what was really impressive last night, so, was like all the third longs that he bailed them out of, their running game wasn't where it needed to be. They lost an offensive lineman in pregame warmups. I think that hurt them. And so, you know, to have him in third and long making some of the plays he did, again, I think there was a lot of good from Josh Allen to take from the game.
617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Bert, it appears that the Titans are not going to face any punishment for any COVID lapses in protocol. I know that last night you have heard some things leaking out of that conference call that Goodell had, saying it's not about rules, it's about safety. But also, there was on the broadcast last night, Jay Feely said that they were able to talk to Roger Goodell, and he said that no one in the organization had willingly broken any rules.
Yeah, so what I heard, I heard a couple things that they were able to find through the investigation. Number one, mask compliance was at like 75 to 80%, which isn't good enough, right? Like by the NFL standards. And that's why you've heard this like line come out. Dr. Alan Sills, the chief medical officer, said this a few times on calls with the owners, 90% compliance is failure. So if you're 75 to 80, that's not good enough, but that's also not like everybody just wildly walking around without masks on. Right. So that was one of the things they found. And then the other thing was those devices they wear, there was a ton of close contacts. And so they weren't distancing properly. You know, now the question becomes, you know, what do you do to create a deterrent so it doesn't happen again? And I think that there was a feeling early on that the league was going to come down on them for this because they wanted to try to say to everybody else, like what the Titans were doing, like they may not have been that negligent, but it was enough to create this situation for everybody. And ultimately, I think that there's some pushback from some other teams and the way the Titans situation was handled publicly, and that they felt like the Titans were being shamed and that it wasn't, and that maybe Park Avenue didn't have a really good feel for what was happening on the ground. And I think the Patriots felt this way too, that like, you know, who are you to say from your office in New York City that you understand what's going on the ground here? And you understand how hard we're trying and you're understanding how hard it is. Like, I just feel like there was a lot of pushback, not just from the Titans, but from a bunch of teams saying, like, what business do you have telling us how hard this is to do when you're just giving us a list of rules and telling us to follow them and not understanding exactly what's happening here?
Silly question. You might term it that way. But do you think the Patriots situation may have helped the Titans a little bit?
Maybe, yeah, because I think
Yeah,
I understand what you're saying. Like, you're saying, like, well, you know, like, sort of a sign that it can happen
it's
anywhere.
It's not just us, right? Hey, right. They run a pretty tight ship there.
And the Patriots compliance, like, my understanding of the Patriots compliance, it was really good. Like, when they looked into it and they looked into this after the Cam Newton situation, the mask compliance was close, you know, not 100%, but damn close to 100%, as good as you could probably hope for it to be. The way that they were running their meetings, all that different stuff was up to snuff. The other thing that's sort of interesting about this, guys, and I wrote about this on Monday. I don't know how much this has been out there. Bill Belichick has been hugely vocal on these conference calls with the league. Like I've talked to people with other teams who have said they are blown away by A, how much he knows, and B, how involved he is in all of this and how involved he wants to be in all of this. And so, it's sort of interesting to me that like he's really engaged and involved himself and educated himself on all of this, because I don't think every head coach in the NFL is doing that. I think a lot of head coaches are sort of passing it off on their head athletic trainer or their team doctor and saying like, you handle this for me, I'll just follow your direction. That's not what Bill's doing. Bill's actually engaged like in the minutia of how to handle the virus, what the virus is, and how bad it can get for your team if you don't do things the right way.
Bert Breer is with us, and we will continue the conversation coming up with some Patriots-related matters, the Cam Gilmore dinner saga, the latest on that, but also something that could impact this weekend's game. Jim Louth just told me in my ear that Melvin Gordon had a DUI overnight. So that could be
interesting.
That could impact what happens for the Patriots game against the Broncos this weekend. We'll get to those items with Bert Breer coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bert Breer of the MMQB is with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. Let's get to that news item that I did mention before the break. That is, Melvin Gordon was cited overnight and charged with DUI. The running back was going between 25 and 39 miles per hour over the limit at Fifth Avenue and Spear Boulevard in Denver.
Wow. Oh, that's downtown, Bert.
That's downtown. Yeah, that's, he's playing Grand Theft Auto in downtown Denver.
Oh, I love walking around downtown Denver.
He is expected to be arraigned in Denver County Court on Friday, November 13th. The Broncos are scheduled as of now to leave the next day for a game against the Raiders in Vegas. The Broncos have not responded today when asked for comment, but the 27-year-old running back has been charged with DUI and could be facing suspension from the NFL.
Well, I mean, to be in all fairness to him, they're trying to squeeze that bye week in pretty quickly. So one day bye week. Get as much fun in as you can, huh?
Yeah, one day. I mean, this was going to be the first time. This was like, there's a chance it's going to be the first time that they were going to have both him and Philip Lindsay together in a while. And so, like,
can the league suspend him on a short week, Bert? Meaning, will this have to wait till after the Patriots game for discipline, or potentially could he sit?
Like, they could put him on the exempt list. That's always like sort of the mechanism they use in cases like this when they don't want guys who have been involved in something like this, you know, showing up on the field on Sunday. Like, they generally don't want these to become storylines that spill into game day. But these usually happen. Like, I can't remember the last time there was like one of these in season, right? Like, don't they normally, like they happen in the off season. They'll happen in March, or they'll happen in May,
yeah,
or they'll happen in July. So I don't know. I mean, I have to look, but like, I don't know.
Craig Hardy's like the only one in season, I think I remember.
Right. There are very, very few like DUIs like in season. So yeah, this sticks out. It's interesting too, because it kind of like, you know, like I had somebody bring this up to me, you know, in the summer when we were talking about how all this is going to work with COVID and everything else. And the point this guy played in the league, and the point he was making to me was, he was like, you wait until these teams start out 0-4 and 0-5, and guys get tired of all the stuff they're having to do. And this isn't like a COVID thing, but it's like guys are going to be worn out by, you know, like everything that they've been through to try to make the season work. And if they aren't winning, you might see some cracks in the foundation with some of these teams.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're human. And I mean, we run ads here for stressful and trying times that people, you know, tend to maybe drink more or become dependent upon something.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. It's, yeah, who knows what happened there? But yeah, I mean, definitely could affect the game on Sunday, no question.
Okay. What do you know, or what do you think about the allegation that Cam Newton and Stephon Gilmore had dinner together going back to prior to the positive test?
I think it's interesting that, like, now that was Gilmore's wife that came out and said that.
Yes.
That denied it.
Yes.
I don't have any reason to disbelieve her. I don't have any reason to disbelieve Schefter. I mean, I can say for a fact that Stephon Gilmore was one of Cam Newton's close contacts. And so, the interesting thing about it is most of Cam's close contacts were considered low risk, where some of his close contacts were considered higher risk. And so, I think that, you know, obviously because of that, you know, the question of responsibility sort of shifts from Cam to Steph. And, you know, if you're doing things outside the facility, then your level of responsibility is going to come into question. So again, I don't have any reason to disbelieve, you know, either Schefter or Gilmore's wife in this case. I did hear the rumor that there was that dinner, but it's one of these things where it becomes a he said, she said thing. I don't know if the NFL is going to have like some surveillance video of the dinner or anything like that.
Sir, I don't know that we were looking surveillance video.
But that's what it's come down to. That's what we're talking about now, right?
No, I think.
He's drinking
listen,
his wine.
I think
if they were at a restaurant or something like that, which I don't. Yeah, I don't think they were.
Don't you think that would have come out by now, though? In Boston, how small the city is.
Like somebody would have like
only
somebody
really,
who works at the restaurant would have leaked it to someone.
There's
or
only so
like
many
that.
Go-to spots in a seaport, and I keep saying seaport, but
yeah, no, I mean like it's it. Maybe it would have leaked out. I don't know, but that's what we're talking about now. Like these guys, like the surveillance tapes now, like in the NFL, like the NFL is like forcing every team to like keep like 30 day, like all surveillance video has to be like preserved for 30 days. So it can be reviewed if there are any sort of problems.
I mean, listen, I can tell you.
That's
like
what we're talking about now, though, with this stuff. You know what I mean?
I can tell you that we've had people reach out to the show today since we started talking about it, dropping the name of a restaurant. But I can't. Listen, I have no way of verifying that. So there would need to be, like, pictures.
So there would be surveillance tape then.
I don't know about surveillance tape, Bert, but.
They have cameras in restaurants, don't they?
Yeah, what do you think? The restaurant's going to be like, oh, let me queue up the tape and distribute it.
Well, I'm
not
going
to
do
that.
No, but if the NFL office calls them.
I think that restaurants are in the business of protecting their best customers.
Right.
They're not into ratting them out. So when you say like, oh, wouldn't it come out by now? Well, it would take someone who is willing to sort of breach that. I don't not any sort
Isn't
of
that always how it happens
the,
though.
It's you know the sort of that confidentiality of hey, if you come to my restaurant, I'll give you a room. You can eat here, whatever. I'm not going to tell anybody you were here.
But I think that's how it always happens, isn't it? Like, isn't it usually like someone who has some weird access to the tape sells it to TMZ? Like it's like when stuff happens at a casino or whatever.
Yeah,
hotel,
and then no Patriot player would ever eat there again, or no professional athlete would ever go
there
again.
Right, but if there's like some like you know somebody who works in the back who has. You know, access to the surveillance video for some reason, if he can sell it to TMZ or whatever for a certain amount of money, he might do that, right?
Maybe.
I think that's how that's how
when has that happened before? When have we seen that?
That's how TMZ happens, isn't it?
Yeah, but you're like describing something I've never seen before, which is surveillance tape of people having a dinner together.
Do you guys remember, like, so do you guys remember, like, there was the tape of Kareem Hunt? Remember that? We've obviously seen the Ray Rice tape, but the tape of Kareem Hunt was in like this apartment building in Cleveland, like a converted hotel that's an apartment building in Cleveland, right?
Dragger yes, okay.
My understanding was that video got out because, you know, somebody who like was like just a worker there had access to it and somebody offered him money, you know, and that my understanding is like that's like what sort of make like that's what makes TMZ go, isn't it? Like that they like some
the rogue employees of the world.
Right. Yeah. Like there's a rogue employee who has access to the video. That rogue employee says, maybe I can sell this, calls TMZ. TMZ offers them a certain amount of money and then everybody gets to see the video. That's how the sausage is made, Beetle, right?
Yeah, so I guess that's it. I just don't know that we've seen that in restaurants many times.
But I think that's what Zoe's talking about. Is like maybe there's some like somebody in the back who.
Well, here's what's gonna happen at the break. I'm gonna tell Zoe the name of the place, and I'm gonna say, "What do you think?" And then when I give him a name, Zoe's gonna feel it's a lot more real now. It'd be like, oh, it's now we're hearing it. Like, now we get the info. Whereas and 5 minutes ago, it's like, ah, oh, small city. If we haven't heard about it by now, we're never going to hear about it. Well, we've heard a few things. That's all.
I don't know. As soon as you said we're getting a name of a restaurant, Zoe's phone rang. Well, Zoe's phone rang like 20, 30 seconds after. This is
That's
a delay.
Interesting. Wow. Let's get to a couple calls. Jim in Danvers on what Bert was saying about Bill Belichick a couple minutes ago. I don't know if I can hold on 1 second here. Phone malfunction. Jim, are you there now?
Jim!
Something's wrong. I think we're all frozen up. Maybe you could try it back there. Can you guys punch him up or no?
No, he appears to be on a different line. Somebody's talking to him right now. Somebody's on with him. Somebody's got a line. I think you pressed the line that doesn't go on the air.
Oh.
No, it says Jim and Danvers.
Jim and Danvers is on.
I got the right one on.
Yeah, I guess Tom says we're frozen.
Okay. We're frozen. Again.
Fred and I have to pass the phone back and forth every day.
High tech stuff.
Yeah. How about Zach in the car? Zach's hey. There. I can hear him.
Hi, Zach.
Hey, guys. I'm here. Yeah.
Go ahead.
You got me?
Yeah.
You were talking about Vrabel, and it was right before halftime. He chose not to kick a long field goal. And at that time, I said, man, this guy is definitely in control of this team because it was been 55 yards for Gostkowski. veteran, future Hall of Famer, probably a friend, and he said, I'm not going to kick the field goal. So just putting head coaches in just three buckets, those that would have been felt the pressure to kick the field goal, or those who would kick the field goal or not kick the field goal and then feel, you know, lose sleep because he didn't. I put Vrabel in that third bucket, doesn't kick the field goal, it ends up working out, and he loses no sleep if a player is upset because he gave him what some could think is a no-confidence vote when it really was just a really good football strategy decision.
Yeah, sort of a good point there.
Yeah.
He has confidence in his team, and he has confidence in his decision-making, and he's not going to be second-guessed by anybody in that locker room.
Right. And I think one of the things that's sort of interesting about him, too, in that way is that, like, and I know, you know, like, and I think, in fact, I think he said this to his players in his first team meeting. Like, he's made the point to them, I've been every one of you, right? Like, so I've been the guy who was a third round pick. I've been the guy who was a special teamer. I've been a starter. I've been an all pro. I've been the aging veteran. I've been the guy who maybe at the beginning of my career didn't think my career might make it past 3 or 4 years. Like, he's been like in the position of so many different guys in that locker room that when he makes a decision like that, like, it's probably affecting somebody he can relate to. So he can kind of level with them on why he made that decision. And it's sort of an interesting position that he's in because, again, he has, you know, the experience of being in the shoes of so many different people in his locker room.
Dan Quinn has been fired by the Atlanta Falcons. He's gone. Bert has an interesting scenario that he laid out this week for the future of the Atlanta Falcons. It could impact the Patriots in one way that you suggested, Bert. We've got a suggestion for you that it could impact the Patriots in multiple ways. We'll tell you. We'll explain. We'll talk about that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
I got bras in Atlanta. Is this new rejoin? Pretty cars and stunts.
Hitting the licks in the van. Legacies. What are we talking about here?
Oh, shoot. Atlanta. Right.
Bert Breer, the MMQB, is with us. Make sure you get to our website, 985thesportshub.com. Download our app. Make sure you're streaming us, listening to the podcasts. Thank you very much for everyone who has been doing that.
Sort of a one-hit wonder there, huh?
I'm not sure. Right now, your Falcons are in the catbird seat for that number one pick in the NFL. They're on a mission to get that number one pick. They could go full tank. They could tank for Trevor. They could move on from Matt Ryan. All those things are possibilities, Bert, as you write about.
Check.
First of all, let's start with Matt Ryan. Could the Falcons legitimately want to move on from him? Did they say it hasn't worked?
It depends on what they're drafting. You know, if their pick is in the top five, which they're squarely in the running for that now at 0-5, and they could, I mean, like, if it's Trevor Lawrence, there's a no-brainer. If it's Trevor Lawrence, they're moving on from Matt Ryan. But even if it's one of the other two, like Justin Fields from Ohio State or Trey Lance from North Dakota State, I think they at least listen. They at least consider it.
Trey Lance, is that good, huh?
I mean, he's considered in that category. Like the impression I've gotten talking to scouts, Lawrence is a very firm number one.
Just the competition those two play against compared to what he did.
Justin Fields is a very firm number two, and then yep. Trey Lance is number three. And Lance has done some impressive things. He needs some work. He obviously doesn't have a ton of playing experience at the college level because he lost this season. He was redshirted his first year. But, you know, I think, you know, if you're one of the, if you're in Atlanta if you're picking that high, you have to think about it because it's like, okay, A, when are we ever going to be picking this high again? B, like having a quarterback on a rookie contract is going to create all sorts of opportunities for us. You know, and then
there's a shelf life with, you know, the position. Like,
right.
Can he play there forever, his whole career?
Well, let me read you this quote, guys. I'm sure you've seen this by now, Bert. The quote from owner Arthur Blank yesterday. Here's the quote. He says, "I love Matt as much as I love Dan, and I love Thomas," talking about Thomas Dimitroff.
Yep.
He said, in regards to Matt, he said, quote, "Matt's been a franchise leader for us, a great quarterback, one of the leading quarterbacks in the last 13 years in the NFL. So I hope he's going to be a part of our plans going forward, but that will be a decision that I won't make." Sort of leaving it up to the football people.
Good.
They make those calls.
And you should do that.
And so,
like that, and that, you know what that's going to do?
Attractive Beatles, job.
That's going to make the job more attractive.
Yep.
Right? Like,
right.
If you're Josh McDaniels or you're Eric Bieniemy or you're like someone in the college ranks, like a Matt Campbell at Iowa State, and you hear the owner say that, you're like, okay, like this could be a good job then.
He says because part of it will be up to the player and part of it will be up to the coaching staff. Arthur Blank. So,
yeah,
you know, hey, that's not my thing. That's on the player, the coaches. That's not my department. Leave that to the football guys.
I think he's had
that's
it.
What he should say.
He's had
that's
it.
What he should. Yeah. Huh?
He's had it, I think.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think that's what you should say if you're the owner. You want the owner to, like, if you're a head coaching candidate, you're a GM candidate, you want an owner that's going to provide you all the resources but allow you to make the decisions.
All right.
And so, like, if I'm the Falcons, like, that's part of the whole deal here. Like, they could go full fire sale, but don't you sort of want to leave that up to, like, whoever the next coach is, whoever the next general manager is?
Yep.
Wouldn't that make it a more attractive job for those guys if they're able to make those decisions on their own?
So you say that it would be a no-brainer for Josh McDaniels to go there as head coach and Nick Caserio to go there as the boss of football things.
If they have the number one pick.
Okay, yes. Let me give you one more scenario because, as I said, we'd give you a new scenario for you.
Yep.
They don't have the number one pick. They've got the number five pick, okay? Mm-hmm. They could leave New England, go to Atlanta, and they could take someone with them who is currently resides in Atlanta, and that would be Cam Newton.
Right. I think that's a little bit tougher. Like, I think with Trevor Lawrence, like, all right, so I assume people know this, but just if you, in case people who don't follow the college game, like, don't know this, like, this is John Elway, Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, Trevor Lawrence. Like, he's in that category from a prospect standpoint coming out. And so, like, so much of the decision-making, if you're somebody like Josh or Nick, has to be tied to that position, right? Like, what are we going to be able to get at that position? Because that's going to have a huge, huge, huge impact on whether or not you're able to win. And if you've got this generational prospect coming out, a guy who should be able to produce really early, who's going to create this window where you're going to have cap space because you're not paying your quarterback 35 or 40 million, then yeah. I mean, I think that you look at that and you're like, okay, like, I'm going to go in, I'm going to get Trevor Lawrence. Like, we're going to have a 21-year-old kid as our starting quarterback. We're going to have a chance to build the way we want to because we're going to have him on the cheap for the first 3 or 4 years of his career. And we go from there. That's a hell of a starting point, right? Like, so I think they have the number one pick, yes. If they have the fifth pick, the sixth pick, then I think, you know, you look at the job a lot differently. I think it's that. I think having the number one pick versus any other pick this year makes that big a difference.
Well, for obvious reasons. I understand that. I just thought maybe there's a way in which they're taking a different quarterback.
Take Cam with them.
And it's Cam because, you know, Josh wants to run an offense that way.
Well, hey, and, you know, it's going to be interesting, too, because it sort of changes the dynamic for the Patriots, too, like as some of the quarterback jobs open up across the league, right? Like, so what are you going to have to pay Cam? Are you going to have to tag Cam? All of that's dependent on the market, right? So, well, what happened in Washington? Dwayne Haskins got benched. Now their future at the position looks like it's wide open. Who worked with Cam Newton?
Ron Rivera.
So, like, now you look at that one and it's like, maybe there will be a market for Cam because maybe, you know, say Atlanta were to move on from Matt Ryan, he's from there. Maybe there's a coach who lands there who likes Cam, maybe it's Josh. Then you have Ron Rivera in Washington. Now all of a sudden you're starting to see where I think, you know, people like look at it and say, well, like this job's full and that job's full and maybe there won't be a market for Cam. You're starting to see where maybe there will be a market for Cam out there in 2021.
Interesting.
Let's go back to the phones. Jim is in Danvers. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Love the show.
Thank you, Jim.
I was just wondering now, you guys are talking about Bill. You think Belichick would like to be commissioner of the league sometime? Is that what he's after?
No. I think if you look at like what Bill Parcells did when he was done coaching, I could certainly see Bill doing that, where, you know, he goes and he's like an EVP of football operations, and maybe day to day he's slowed down from what he was as a coach, but he's picking all the people. I think Bill really likes, this is just the impression I've gotten from, you know, just covering the coaching carousel and all the hiring stuff, you know, on a year to year basis, is Bill likes playing Godfather the same way that Parcells liked playing Godfather. And so, you know, this, cause you played for Parcells. Parcells really liked like kind of being the guy behind the guy who was pulling all the strings in the NFL, who was like placing this guy over here and placing that guy over there.
Gives you the blessing. Yeah,
it wouldn't surprise me
the
at
blessings.
All if Belichick is sort of becomes that in his 70s, whenever he's done coaching, if he either goes and takes a role like, you know, Parcells had with the Dolphins at the end, or
change of
he's
voice
just
too.
Sort of this figure in their league that's like sort of the godfather of the NFL. And he's, like you said, so like giving his blessing to guys across the league and sort of kind of the guy behind the guy who's pulling all kinds of strings.
Come to me on a day Amanda's wedding. Yes, take another ferry over to the vineyard.
Just sitting back in Nantucket, just running the NFL. He doesn't need to be commissioner.
Yeah.
Nailed it. Dean is in Beverly. Hi, Dean.
Hey.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great.
Hey, something about the Atlanta draft. I mean, both Lawrence and Fields are both from Georgia, so that'd be one hell of a PR move also.
Yep.
I mean, they're from like towns 10 miles apart from each other. And if Josh went there, that's two different types of quarterbacks to get both draft. Lawrence a pocket passer, Fields is like a double threat kind of guy.
Lawrence can run. Don't take that away.
Lawrence
from
can run too. I mean, they're both like Justin Fields would be the number one pick in a lot of drafts. It's just this year he's running into Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
So like I think either of those guys would be appealing. Like it should be a really good group, a quarterback atop the draft, as long as those guys stay healthy. And yeah, I mean, like if you're any coaching candidate, the idea that you could go there and like have a rookie at that level to like that's an enormous thing. And so, I mean, I'm fascinated, guys, to see what this looks like in December when you have teams that are like kind of wobbling along at like 1-10, some of the, let's just call it creative roster management that could be going on like right around Christmas where, you know, you might see guys have, you might see some phantom injuries. You might see some guys who, yeah, that's just, Hey, you over there?
Shutting it down.
Foxborough flu.
go take the last three weeks of the season off. You're good. You're good. Don't worry. The checks will still clear. Like you just go take it easy over there.
We've got a bunch of items to wrap things up with Bert coming up next, including an example of an in-season DUI, an example of a TMZ-style security video, and also are the Saints on the move? The Saints on the move. Oh, we have to ask you about Le'Veon Bell as well. We'll do all of that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Former QB, always laser focused.
It's like going to bed at night, bringing a rattlesnake in your room. I'm sleeping on a hot spot, on a hot rock.
And the guy who is always by his side.
The Lakers, UFOs, mayonnaise, all in the mix here.
Zolak and Bertrand.
If that makes any sense.
No.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
And now it's time for Stutter.
Flacco and Flacco, Flacco.
And Go.
Green Bay, 31st.
All the stories we couldn't get to with Bert Breer. Hopefully he can keep it short and sweet so we can actually get through this segment. Yeesh.
Haven't had that one in a while. We broke that one out of the archive. For Bert, we've got a few items to get to here before we let you go.
A little dust off that.
All right. Let's start with this. The Saints are talking to LSU to play their games at LSU. Mm-hmm. And by playing at LSU, avoid local restrictions on fans in New Orleans. At LSU, they would be allowed. Sean Payton had a comment a short time ago that he would prefer to be at LSU with 25,000 fans than to be at the Dome with no fans. Is this going to happen?
It just seems a little tone deaf to me, right? Like, yeah, it's like Dan Mullen saying after they lost to Texas A&M on Saturday that he wanted to pack the swamp, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. There's just something skeezy about using LSU as leverage against the Saints in the middle of a pandemic, or against the city of New Orleans in a pandemic, to try to put butts in the seats. I don't know. I mean, I think it may work, but it just kind of like feels.
Is the league going to go for it? Are they going to approve it?
I mean, the league has already said that they're like, they're okay
play a football game at Tiger Stadium. Come on down. We play the game when we're not here.
We got a window to go play a game. We're gonna go play a game.
Right. Yes, the league has said they're okay with it, which surprised me a little bit because they're so conscious of the PR with this stuff.
Yeah. You know? Interesting. Okay, so that could be coming. Le'Veon Bell released by the Jets. Where's he at in his career? I think he's toast. I don't think he's half the player he used to be. What's going to happen to him?
Yeah, I don't think he has much left. And I think part of the issue he has now is what are you interjecting into your locker room? Like, is this a guy who...
Negative energy.
Who's 80% of what he used to be and still carries himself like a superstar and still expects superstar treatment? That's the issue. Money won't be the issue. He's still due $6 million from the Jets. It's bananas. Like, if you look at that signing, the C.J. Mosley signing 18 months ago, how those have blown up in their face. But, you know, there are offsets in the deal. So any team can bring him in now for the minimum. There should be suitors. I think it'll be fairly limited because teams are afraid of what they'd be introducing into their locker room.
Last example of an in-season DUI. I don't know. There could have been one more recently. But last one that maybe... Patriots fans will remember Michael Floyd had an in-season DUI.
Wow, yeah. Yes. That's there was video right. on that, too.
Correct.
Right.
So he was not punished by the league until the following year.
Wow.
Wow.
So it's really, it's about the team. The league is not going to come down on Melvin Gordon before Sunday. It would be his team that decides he's not going to play.
Right, which is definitely possible, especially when, you know, they're preaching responsibility at a different level than they ever have before in these buildings. And, like, just all like it's literally the message in 32 different buildings. When you leave the facility, go home, you know, and only leave home to come back here.
But what if he's driving around a car by himself with a mask? It's a joke.
Okay. I don't know.
He wasn't in the group.
I do think that there's, you know, the Broncos definitely have to look at sitting him down this week, because if you're preaching responsibility to players and you're saying you basically need to live the life of a hermit for all of us to make this work over the next 4 months, then something like this happens. And I think you have to come down on the guy the same way, say, like the Titans came down on Isaiah Wilson when his DUI happened in August.
Yeah. So when Michael Floyd had his DUI, he was cut 3 days later. And that's when the Patriots picked him up. So his team did not bench him. He was punished.
That was
by
a little different. He had so many issues, though. There were so continuing issues with him. Like, that was a little different. But yeah, that was
one more item. TMZ security footage. Nancy Pelosi in the salon. Recent example of someone scooping up a video and paying for it.
It happened
from a security video.
I taught all the listeners out there today that is how the sausage is made. I made a difference today, Beetle.
I'm not sure you did.
I keep thinking of the grinding of the meat and the casing on the end, and you're trying to string that sausage out. Then do you roll it? Do you tie it off?
Observation on your office today. It looks like you got a post office behind you on that shelf.
What's up all those slats?
I'd leave you with that today.
Oh, there's a lot of stuff back there.
Yeah, it looks like
I try to clean it up usually. I did. I actually, the sad thing is I did clean it up. I just guess I didn't.
When's the move to the basement?
The basement office is done. I've got to get the internet set up there. You got to get on your guy over at Comcast.
I already set you up
Hardy.
With him.
It's the name of the post office in Funny Farm.
I know. We need his help. Because obviously when you're moving your office downstairs, the internet becomes an issue, right? Because it's underground. So we need a few things worked out down there. But we'll be down there, I think. My goal, I told Emily, was November 1st to be fully operational. Have the two 55-inch TVs in front of my desk mounted there. It's going to be pretty nice.
Two 55-inch TVs sounds excessive.
I think sounds great, Bert. I think you're doing the right thing. That's the
call. Why not, right? Do you know how cheap TVs are now?
Yeah. Yes. It's unbelievable. Prime Day going on today. Maybe you can scoop one there.
You know how cheap Cat 5 wire is? Just run it right down there to the basement. I don't see why you need 3 more weeks to get internet 30 feet away from where you are now.
Sounds like you want to be my contractor? You want to come over here, Hardy, and help me out with that?
Yeah, we'll clean up that mail slot behind you. Crumb Petrie is the name you're looking for. So he looks like something that Crumb Petrie would pick up his mail for before you go out on the road to deliver to the farmers.
Nice. All right, Bert, great to have you here today. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
You, Bert Breer joining us here on Zolak and Bertrand. We have headlines. They take just a moment or two, and we are right back. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They work.
Arr, matey.
While you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Six one seven 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 nine zero 98.5 Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 Sports Hub and on NBC Sports Boston. Download that app, 98.5thesportshub.com. And if you get one of those Alexa enabled devices on Prime Day,
make
sure. I guess I set a bunch of them off yesterday.
Why'd you do that? Why did you do that?
People wanted to hear the Drifters down by the boardwalk. It's a nice song.
Okay. All right. Well, enable that sports hub skill and then just...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Matey. While you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Six one seven 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 nine zero 98.5 Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 the Sports Hub and on NBC Sports Boston. Download that app, 98.5thesportshub.com. And if you get one of those Alexa enabled devices on Prime Day,
make
sure. I guess I set a bunch of them off yesterday.
Why'd you do that? Why did you do that?
People wanted to hear the Drifters down by the boardwalk. It's a nice song.
Okay. All right. Well, enable that sports hub skill and then just say,
hey, play the sports hub.
Alexa, open 98.5 the sports hub and start listening on your Amazon Echo and your smart speakers and Amazon shows and all of that stuff. All right?
Yeah. Oh, that's a barber slap.
Is it?
No, that's a weirdo.
I'm sorry, what?
That's a viber slap.
G-U-I-R-O.
G-U-R-I-O.
Oh, yeah, it's the thing that looks like a fish. It's got the ridges on it. You take another wooden stick and you scrape it back and forth.
Yeah, that seems about right.
Under the boardwalk, though, by the way.
What the hell I say?
Down by the boardwalk.
Under the boardwalk. right.
Under the boardwalk,
they'll be having some fun.
Under the boardwalk,
people walking around.
Under the boardwalk,
they'll be falling.
Oh, under the boardwalk.
That's dirty.
Boardwalk.
From the park you hear. Especially with all the sand down there.
I said the happy sound of a carousel. Mmm, smell that hot dog and French
fries. I think you're confusing. sitting on the dock of the bay and under the boardwalk. You combine the two.
I do that a lot with movies, too.
I think that's what it is.
Sort of the same vibe and
sitting
genre.
Under the boardwalk by the bay.
Watching the tide roll under the boardwalk away.
We started off the day with the denial of there having been a dinner between Cam Newton and Stephon Gilmore.
What time is it? 12:05. We still haven't got any reports on negative tests or positive tests coming.
We did. Mike Reese had that.
Oh, he did? I'm sorry.
Did he?
I thought he did. I thought he tweeted that. No? Hold on.
I don't think so.
You serious?
Yeah.
You serious, Clark?
Are you serious?
Mess around.
No, nothing on tests yet from Mike Reese.
I mean, players are talking.
Like yeah.
Rex Burkhead spoke earlier. Isaiah Wynn speaking.
Seems kosher.
But it looks like Isaiah Wynn's at home based on this. Mm. You know,
maybe he has
workouts in the morning.
So you're looking for confirmation that there was no new positives for the Patriots today.
Do they have to announce that without having practice? I mean,
reporters have announced it any day. Every single day, reporters have announced
bang.
It.
Bang. It's what we're waiting for, right? Really?
Tom Pelissero or Schefter or
we usually
Reese.
Get that right at the start of our show. That's all I say, just from a timing standpoint.
Oh, I thought for some reason that you had said recent. I'm sorry. My mistake. Yeah. Okay. Well, then.
All right.
617-779-0985. Nick is in Walpole. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, guys. What's up? I just wanted to comment on this year's NFL season and specifically the Super Bowl winner. I just don't think that this year's winner is going to be legit. I don't really think it's going to matter that much looking back. Because we're just going to say, yeah, you know, team guys opted out, guys got COVID, the schedule was messed up. It's really just not going to matter that much. I think it's really just not going to be an illegitimate winner. What do you guys think?
I don't think so, because I think if this continues with the trend and say that it's only disrupted 1 week and say they had a week 18, then everything's all systems going. You got your whole season. It's not like they started, stopped, and then resumed 4 months later. That's where I have a problem with it, and you went in a bubble after that. So you played half a season out of a bubble, half a season in a bubble. You're just trying to get through this and handle it the best you can and still have your life about you. That's all. I would consider it a real one, regardless of who the champ is.
I would just say that 67 players opted out of the season. That was the total number. Out of 1,700 players in the league on active rosters, 67 guys.
Yeah.
That's nothing. There's that in injuries every single year.
Your most important
ones. The opt-outs don't delegitimize anything in my mind.
The biggest names are from here.
Yeah. And there's a concentration of New England Patriots on that list.
Eight.
Right.
Yeah.
I disagree with that.
Yeah, I'd consider it a non-asterisk year. This is not an asterisk championship. More and more you look back, I just can't remember the NBA closed it out this weekend. Just weird. It's weird.
It is
the way
odd.
That thing ended.
It is odd.
You keep saying that too about it. Like, you know, it's just. But I do give them credit for generating their own juice.
I'm sorry, but I feel like the sports that have looked and felt the most normal have been the NHL and the NFL.
Yeah.
I feel that those two sports have looked as much like the normal everyday games you're watching on a regular basis now as they did a year ago.
Speed of the hockey. You know, just when it zoomed in and they're moving and they got to the playoffs, it was amped up. Even the Bruins, you could see them trending towards... Okay, there's a little more intensity that they're playing with here.
What looks different about the NFL?
No, he's saying it looks most normal.
I think it looks the most normal.
Oh, I thought you said NBA and NHL.
No, NFL. I'm sorry, maybe okay. I misspoke. Okay. No, I meant to say NFL.
You said NHL and NFL.
NFL and NHL to me have looked no different.
Yeah.
The intensity, and maybe because they are just physical sports, maybe that's what it is. Psychologically, you're like, these guys aren't slowing down. They're knocking the crap out of each other out there. It's just as difficult now as it's always been. And I feel like in basketball, crowds are a big part because they're so close. And the environment plays a big part of that. You know, I don't know what it is.
You miss the free throw shots from behind, and the crowd's going in the background. You know,
yeah. In baseball, I don't think baseball is all that heavily impacted by it, but it's just baseball, and the Red Sox were so wretched. So I'm speaking strictly as a Boston sports fan. You know how that sort of feels. That the NHL looks and feels the same, as does the NFL. I just felt something was a little off in the NBA. Just weird.
What
weird thing.
Well, they didn't help matters by, and I know you liked it. I did not like the big head screens of the people like behind the
at least it's something.
Oh, I loved it. I'd be happy they did that.
Give me that instead of a curtain.
Weird. Well, they didn't have it in the NHL and didn't bother you not to have any.
But they were playing
there.
in a real arena. You know what I mean? That was not a real arena that the NBA was playing in.
Let's curtain it off, do something. I mean, they put big tarps over the seats in the NHL arenas, and it was fine.
Yeah.
According to Mike Giardi, the Patriots are spacing out their entry to the building today. That make sense?
Yeah, it would if you're having just individual workouts, sure.
Says, per source, the Patriots have spaced out their schedules today to continue to maintain a lower number of personnel in the building. Expectation remains that they will practice tomorrow for the first time since they walked through on Saturday.
Bert tweeted out about 7 minutes ago the changes down in Carolina and the way they enter the building, and that you're not going to be able to have individual meetings with your personal coach unless it's in a big team meeting room. The one-on-one instruction, the meals will be grab-and-go meals. You won't be able to sit and eat. So they made some changes down in Carolina, too. I think each team is sort of trying to attack this thing, and maybe this is the Bill studying it.
Quote from Rex Burkhead today on that very issue, Bill Belichick and his involvement. Burke told us last hour that other coaches and other front office executives in the league have been blown away by the level of involvement of Bill Belichick in some of the league conference calls, talking about protocols and keeping players safe. Rex Burkhead said, oh, actually, we have the audio. It's in. This happened a short time ago on his availability. Here's Rex Burkhead on Bill Belichick.
Yeah, no, he's been great. Really, he's just put our safety, our family safeties first. And he's been in constant communication with us on doing whatever he can or, whatever the team can or to put in things in place to keep us safe. And, that's been great just knowing he has our back in these situations and these times. And so really it's just, control what we can control. Like you said, hour by hour, things change constantly. And, whether that's just staying mentally locked in, whether we're at home or, if we are up at the stadium, whether that is, understand we have a job still to be done. And, we have the Broncos coming up and we got to be ready and prepared to play them.
It's pretty good. High praise for that coach from one of his players. If players feel that way, that's good for the team.
Sure
it's
is.
Good for the environment.
Yep.
So Burkhead looked like he was in the stadium because he had the backdrop behind him. But Wynn was at home, so that explains the staggering.
Yeah, Wynn said he's going in later to do his workouts. Yeah.
Interesting. All right, so that's the setup today for the Patriots in Foxborough. Jimmy's in New Hampshire. Hey, Jimmy.
Guys, before I talk about the Patriots and my point of calling, I heard you guys talking about LSU and made a quick Ed O joke. If you want a really good laugh, there's a video called Colonel Reb is Crying on YouTube, and it's about Coach O while he's playing coaching at Old Miss, and it's pretty funny.
Okay.
Okay,
so, check it out. That's much for your information.
I promise you, you'll get a kick out of it.
Use tube or take a look at that. Yeah. Get a video up on
six press conferences.
It's a college radio station that had a guy come on and play his guitar and sing a song about him, so you'll like it.
Oh, it's also every time someone makes a song about me. Banjo or guitar? What are we playing?
Oh, yeah, I'm not quite sure. It might even be the. Anyway, so
and a boob potato slap.
The same guy that they're being asked on the. Oh yeah. Well, how about I just do my whole call in the Edo voice? So the guy that just called, he said there'd be an asterisk on this season. Well, that same guy, if Tom Brady was on this team and they were 4-0 right now, he wouldn't be calling in saying there's an asterisk. He'd be calling in saying this is the same old season as there ever been. So I disagree with that guy.
Agreed.
That's Coach O. I don't know why you have to ask anyone named Rick about it. I ain't asking no Rick. Go ahead and open up the window.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and play. We don't have any windows there. Mm-hmm. Stadium. Go ahead. Who's picking a banjo here?
You should go to Gumbo for the to lunch. You got to get the grab and go to Gumbo. The crab boil.
Crab boil.
That's it. They did that with the...
Let me get a shot of
that cornbread on that.
There's some crawfish with that.
That cornbread, you dip that cornbread.
Crawfish, you're talking about a crawdad. We had no crawdad. We just eat sand.
Maybe it's them gators. They tied them five gators last week. Daddy was down there. He was in the swamp. And then Mama made that gator stew. Made some jerky for the offensive lineman. They got to beat them boys up. They got a football team to come.
Tell me about no asking risk.
Get to the beds and sleep, and you ready to play some football this weekend?
I knew one man named Dick. He lived down by your bootay.
What'd you say, named Dick?
Yeah.
Dick Boutet?
Dick DeChambeau lived down by your bootay. Got a fixer shop down there. I'm going there. One time I went and I said, Dick, you need to open up a window in here.
You get that pretty girl in there to ask her out for the date. It's
a bit warm if I do say myself.
take her for a walk or something. Get some flowers.
Tell me you got a fixer shop. I walk in the back of that shop. It's hotter than Hades. I'm fixing to fall out.
This ain't no fixer shop. This is a sweatshop.
Hell yeah, that's it. Get K-Ron cooking.
I would have.
You know who I like? Clifton Chenier, the king of the Zydeco.
Mom and daddy didn't had no money, and mama made the potato salad with no potatoes. She just ground up the crackers and put on the onions and the
paprika.
A little paprika and the mayonnaise, and mix it up. Mama mush it up in her hand. It still tastes like potato salad, even though no potatoes in it.
What is this?
Zydeco. There's Rockin' Nopsy.
Zydeco.
Where's the thing that he told us to go get?
I don't know.
All right.
I was looking it up.
I guess we'll work on that.
There's a radio show I listen to. Usually called Alligator Stomp. It's just gator stomping. Gator stomping music.
We do have some of our Patriots audio to listen to, though. Both Burkhead and Isaiah Wynn.
Play some more now.
What does Wynn have to say?
It's interesting, yeah. They don't answer questions for a certain reason, yeah. Both of them.
Oh. Okay, well, I want to know what that is. Now you've left us here in suspense. We're going to hear it next.
Can't wait.
Don't go anywhere.
All right. Just go ask Rick. All right, don't you go nowhere. You keep listening to this radio station.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.